Money is a big part of our lives, whether we like it or not. And this conversation needs to be had, and you need a really good money partner. And in fact, I would go as far as saying choosing your partner greatly affects how much money you make, too.
Entrepreneurs love talking about business. However, it's no secret there's also so many things they love talking about, which are not about business. In the Sea of Business podcasts, none of your business is a refreshing break, a surprise kiss, an afternoon fizz. Through Carla Singson's cheeky and radical takes on mundane and principle-heavy topics, you'll gain insights that guarantee you something to talk about on your first Tinder date, while visiting grandma, or if you want to impress your new boss. Big thanks to Proximity Outsourcing for sponsoring this episode. Outsource the most tedious tasks in your business, such as data management, appointment setting, and creatives, for less than $12 an hour, fully managed. Visit ProximityOutsourcing.com for more info. Tired of business podcasts? Tune in to None of Your Business. New episodes weekly.
Good morning, everyone. We're here for another episode of None of Your Business. Today is a beautiful day and a very interesting topic. I was just at my conference in Mexico City, and I spent a lot of time with this woman, my mastermind sister. So let me introduce her to you guys. Sam has built three successful music for brands companies and has redefined what's possible in music licensing by connecting some of the world's best musical talent with brands globally. So she's the founder and CEO of Parvin Music. She's the Coca-Cola Company's global music consultant and has won over 30 internationally recognized awards, including two Cannes Lions Awards. That's for the film, right? And has the pleasure to support brands like GMC, Corona, Dos Equis, Maker's Mark, and Procter & Gamble in their strategic music selection and procurement. As the owner of Parvin Music, Sam is focused on sourcing, composing, and licensing music for a small roster of brand clients to elevate creativity, advocate for the rights of independent musicians, and provide opportunities for great brands to make art with some of the best musical talent available. Hey, Sam, how are you today?
Hey, Carla, I'm really good. I'm so excited for this conversation. Thanks for inviting me.
Yeah, me too. It was such a, you know, we had such a great time at our mastermind where we learned a lot about business. And so to fill in some of our listeners, when, you know, obviously we were in this conference for, I don't know, like at least 6 hours a day talking business. And so whenever Sam and I would, you know, get a little meal outside, we would talk about different things. And one of the conversations that I really personally found very enriching was us talking about our relationship with money and partnerships and how it kind of ties in together. And that's why I thought, why don't we discuss this on a podcast? And so today, as you can see with the title of our podcast is We Don't Want to Split the Bill and That's It.
I love it.
So let's get straight to it. So Sam, how do you feel about this statement?
You know, just to preface this, I'll say I am very clear that I'm probably going to discover things for myself in this conversation, because this is a really new conversation for me to be having with myself. Honestly, I think I've always really been a 50-50 kind of person. Like, I want to be in an equal partnership. I want to contribute, you know, equally to the partnership that I'm in. I'm capable. I think, you know, women should be equal to men in this world. And uh-huh. So this is kind of a new way of thinking for me that that I'm excited to discover. And I think kind of a way to just summarize this is that, no, we don't want to split the bill. And, you know, there's a way that men and women can be equal in a partnership, but not the same. Right. So we're not splitting the bill, but we're each contributing in our own ways.
Right. So would you say yes to a guy who seems amazing and, you know, he looks good and he looks pretty successful and smart, but if he asks you on a date and blatantly says, I split bills. So how does that make you feel? Would you say yes? Would that be your basis for just saying no and not giving this guy a chance? Like, how do you feel about that?
I now would, that would not have bothered me. And in fact, maybe would have made me think positively about a man in the near past. because it would have made me think that he wants an equal partnership, you know, that he wants to have a woman who is equal to him in power and influence, I guess. But now, I mean, first of all, if a guy says that before we even go on the date, I'm like, no. but if we're at the date and he wants to split the bill with me, and it's very clearly a date, you know, he asked me out, there's a romantic vibe there and all of that. I would split the bill, but I don't think I would go out with him again. And if you wanted to have a conversation about it, I'm going to be very open about it. You know, I think that there's nothing wrong with the way that anyone wants to run their relationship, you know, as long as both parties are in agreement. So lots of people would be offended if a man wants to pay their bill. Mm-hmm. But for me, I think now, if I'm going on a first date with you, and you're like, you know, waiting for me to take out my credit card or like acting weird about like, you know, hoping that I'm going to like split with you, I just don't think so. And I don't want men to go broke over having a partner, you know, or a girlfriend. Yeah. So I think exactly. There's something that can be worked out there. But but yeah, on a first date, it's like, man, just show your wanting to care for and take care of somebody by taking care of it for real.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the mere idea, in my opinion, the mere idea of an invitation, this is your idea to invite this girl out with a whole ass life. And you're asking for her time, and it's you that wants this first, I would say, right? Like she might end up liking you too and discovering it's been a great time, but this is your idea and you're asking, and I feel like that's the least that you could do, right?
Yeah. And you know, as you say that, it's like, it's not, you know, and you and I kind of talked about this before, it's not about paying.
Yeah.
It's not about like spending the money. It's about, it's the whole thing. It's like, you should, you know, like ask a woman out, take initiative, decide where you're going, you know, if you don't want to tell her exactly where you're going, you know, like you kind of want to treat her, like tell her the kind of place, you know, that she should dress for,
right.
Just take care of it. This is just being in your masculine energy and being the protector and provider and, creating that, you know, masculine feminine dynamic that is necessary in a romantic relationship.
No, I totally agree with you, especially with your point of making the plan. Like you are showcasing that, you know, you're a good leader and you got your stuff figured out. And a guy making a plan. And this is why I don't like men who are very indecisive. I actually just kind of feel icky towards them, even if I'm not dating them, even if they're just like there or they're this stranger. And, you know, we just happen to like, if a guy's in front of me at a McDonald's and he can't make up his mind about his order, like, I think that's very unattractive. and to your point, like, if you don't have your shit together, then probably don't date, because you're gonna carry me through your, you know, you're being disorganized, or you know, you still have a lot of things to to figure out before you have a partner, and that's just not going to fly.
I mean, all of this is very familiar to me. I've dated men, but that were kind of in this category. But I'll just speak to kind of my most recent relationship where, there were a lot of things that he was not confident in about life. And, you know, I'm somebody who has built the life that I want because I go after it, you know, and I've realized that I can't go after, or that it's not in my best interest to go after relationships in the same way that I have gone after building my own business, living in another country, you know, being fit, you know. I can't go after relationships in the same way. And that's something that I'm really working on, is just sitting back and receiving and really getting into my kind of feminine goddess energy, if you will. And that is about receiving. Like, there's a very real reason they say, like, happy wife, happy life. It's because, like, when we can really fully be, you know, trust our partners.
Yeah.
Feel provided for.
Mm-hmm.
Then we're able to be really open and receiving. And that's what a man wants also, you know, and it's the natural state that we want to be in as well. And I think, everything you're talking about is all connected. Like, a man who's not sure what he wants, or is kind of flippy floppy, or, and, you know, wants to split the bill and gets mad about, you know, women who don't want to split the bill, thinks that women should do everything on their own kind of thing. I think they all kind of go together. And the thing is, like, let's be clear, men, women are doing a lot out here. We're taking care of a lot out here. and it's really about each of us getting to really live into our different, I don't want to say roles, but, you know, energies.
I think it's just being, right?
Yeah, it's a way of being, right?
Yeah, it's a way of being. I noticed that there are activities that we do that makes us happier. So obviously I'm happy pursuing my dreams, you know, doing my business, looking at my, you know, bank account and seeing money in it. Like, I love those things. I love buying new stuff, new cars, new purses, new houses. I love all of those. But I also find a lot of joy with, you know, being taken care of and being cherished, and, you know, and a guy showing you his devotion by wanting to take care of you, provide for you and protect you and lead, you know, provide kind of order, leadership in your life. Because, like, hormonally, women have a more flip-floppy relationship with, like, our emotions, right? The, mm-hmm. You know, the period, for example, sorry, men, but the period, for example, is just like a roller coaster of hormones. And this happens every month. Like, and this is why a lot of women always look for that rock, that, you know, sense of order, being grounded and being taken care of and held. And I think that's always what we look for. My expression on this splitting the bill conversation is always, as early as the first date, our brains are like this, you know, high speed CPUs already analyzing if you're going to be a good leader of our household. So if you're going to ask me to split the bill on a first date, what I'm going to dress up, I'm going to wear something nice and put Dior on my face, you better pick up the bill, sir.
Yeah, I mean, and exactly what you're talking about. I mean, this is how I think that, you know, men most enjoy their woman to be as well, you know, where we can really sit back and trust. I read something recently actually that just said like the number one thing that men need from their partner to feel secure and in their masculine is trust.
Right.
And it's like, if you keep putting things on your female partner, like making them make all of the decisions and pay the bills and everything, you're giving away that trust that you need as a man, you know? Exactly. Can we give, I'd like to just give, I feel like we're kind of talking about some concepts, but like, what are some examples, specific like life examples of how a man might be able to show his, you know, taking care of his woman and protecting his woman? They may be financial, you know, like include paying for things, and they may not be, but like, what are some of the things that you just like love when your partner, you know, does them for you, and it feels like he's really being able to provide for you?
Yeah, I love that question. Cause like you said, we want to emphasize this is not about money. This is not just ask like, oh, give me the money and give me a unlimited credit card. To your example of, you know, of having real life situations. For me, I love it when I would share something to my partner that I would appreciate if he would do it for me, and then he does it. And it's something small. Like one thing right now with me and my partner is taking the trash out. So I really, that's my like least favorite task in the house. And honestly, I think it's very unfeminine to do it. I mean, I'll do it when I was single, of course I did it. But I just don't like it, you know? So I asked him, and he's very gracious, and he just like does it without me having to, you know, repeat it over and over again. And at the same time, I also show my appreciation. I mention it. I say, I appreciate you doing that. And, or I reward him, you know, in other ways, like cooking his favorite dish, giving him a little massage or something like that. So I'm also cognizant that I'm contributing in the relationship too, like you said. Yeah. So I think the biggest thing for me is if I ask you of something and then you listen and you remember to provide that thing for me, especially if it's super simple, like really wouldn't take you more than 2 minutes to do it. I think that's a very high level of devotion. And it's actually such one of the best things you could give your partner, listening and that kind of support, in my opinion.
And like just initiative. It's like
initiative.
Just
yeah.
It's like, you know, gosh, if we could just do away with the term, like with the idea that like women nag. It's like, you think women nag because we have to ask you to do the same shit every single week.
Like, there she is.
You know what I mean? It's like, I mean, when are you going to learn kind of thing? And you're right. It's just so sexy if it's like, or just like, you know, my man notices one day when we go to the grocery store together, because occasionally we go to the grocery store together, that I like a certain brand of sparkling water or whatever.
Right.
And then he comes home with that sparkling water someday because he knows that I like it, and because he knows we don't have any in our house.
Oh, that's
and
so
it's
attractive.
Just there in the fridge, you know?
Exactly.
Or yeah, like just saying, like taking the initiative to say like, hey babe, let's go out to dinner tonight. I'm going to take you out. Do you want Italian or do you want Asian food?
Mm-hmm.
And then he just makes a reservation and we go out, you know, like instead of me having to be like, I don't want to cook tonight. And then he's like, well, we could go out, but like, where do you want to go? And then I have to make the decision about where we go. And you know what I mean? It's like, just take care of these little things for me.
Mm-hmm.
I think that could go a really long way. And that's for somebody who, whether they're making, you know, more money than their female partner or not, you know, that's not about money. That's about, masculinity.
No, for real. I totally agree with you. I actually remember dating this guy who was, didn't make a lot of money, but he always did the things. You know, he was always on his feet. He was all, I could see that he was always striving to make me happy. And And it was just so heartwarming to see. I remember it was a while ago, but I remember I knew that he wasn't making a lot of money. And so I would, when he would ask me, hey, do you want to go out or what do you want to do? I would just purposely say, oh, let's just stay at home. I like staying at home, or let's just get some pizza just so I don't have to like burden him financially. But honestly, it was so attractive to see that he was always striving to make me happy. And and that was and even though this is a funny thing, it actually helped me like not see the other red flags. Now looking back, there were other red flags, but I could just remember why I was really attracted to him is because he always had this devotion to make me happy, and that he would provide whatever it takes.
Well, sounds like a good man. And as far as this conversation, or like what you and I have kind of gotten to is that we ideally do want to have a guy who can provide for us financially as well. What do you want to talk about around that? Like, because I mean, these things that are non-financial can really go a long way. They really can. Right. And for a lot of people, that will be totally fine, especially if, you know, just financially, you're really set up for comfort for a long, you know, for the long haul. But not everybody is, and a lot of people aren't. And even if you are, you may want to be with somebody who can financially take care of you.
Yeah. So I would love to address that actually. So let's have it. So there's this conversation about dating someone who owns or makes less than you, or owns less, or you feel like he is just not quite at the level that you want him to be. So a lot of, you know, there's different perspectives to this. First of all, a lot of women can see if a guy is doing the thing, right? Like if a guy, because there's so many reasons why a guy would be not quite to the level that you want him to be, or that he should be. Let's go with that. So he could have some trauma in his past. He could have a business partner that effed him over, right? He could, you know, lost his business during the pandemic, right? Or the recession. So there's so many reasons for that. I think my personal opinion is, honestly, I think a lot of women can have the nuance to see the situation. And if they see the guy is a hard worker and is making smart decisions with his life, it doesn't really matter how much money you have in the bank or what your situation is right now. Although I do understand there's some sort, we all have our versions of non-negotiables, and there's that. And then there's also the idea of how, of his character, right? Like, is he kind? Is he, you know, is he a good communicator? So there's that. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, you're totally right. I mean, money comes and goes, right? And we're gonna all have moments in our lives when we're richer and when we're poorer, in certain ways. And I think somebody's character and level of integrity and work ethic and stuff really can go a long way and can really have you see who the person is. You know, something I've thought about lately is, I'm in my later 30s, mid to late 30s. And, you know, when I was getting into a relationship at 28, 29, 30, or younger, even, if a man had said that he was going to build something and he was on his way, but hadn't fully expressed that, hadn't really gotten there, hadn't grown it as big as he said he wanted it to be at that point, that was understandable. by 38 or 40 years old as a man, you know,
yeah,
if he hasn't started building something or if it's not like well on its way, then like it ain't gonna happen, you know. So I feel, you know, I'm single now, and any person that I'm, you know, dating or looking to be in partnership with now, there's a lot more that they will have lived than if we had met 10 or 15 years ago. So I definitely think it depends on the circumstance and the person. But we really have to listen, you know, we really have to listen to what's being said and what's not being said about where they are in their lives. And, you know, character can go a long way, but then also like there's numbers. And I think that's a piece that a lot of partnerships are maybe never even doing, is actually looking at each other's numbers. Like, how much money do you have in your IRA? Do you have an additional savings account? Are you investing? What are you investing in? How diversified is your investment portfolio? What's your monthly income? Do you get paid, you know, bi-monthly? Do you get paid in big chunks? You know, do you have debt? These are like real, like, and somebody's character doesn't necessarily speak to what their numbers look like. And I think those are conversations that we need to be having more upfront. I've always been somebody who's totally fine with talking about numbers.
Yeah.
You know, that's probably helped me in owning my own business. I think that money is something we don't talk enough about, and it's such a, you know, foundation for our lives. So I'm okay with having those kinds of conversations, but I get that it's, you know, everybody has their own personal money story. And so it can be really sensitive for certain people.
Yeah, that's right. I totally agree with that. I remember the first time one of the most attractive things that I found in my partner is when he paid off all of his, when he told me the story of how he paid off all of his student loans. And this was actually kind of a pivotal moment, because I think that was our first kind of money conversation. And you would know when you listen, really, you would know how a person is with their money by these little comments that they make on the first, second, or third date, right? Mm-hmm. Even how, I guess, how they would pick a certain brand of wine, or if they always want to go to these flashy places, and what their comments are about flying first class or buying a car brand new. So you can actually, there are ways to kind of assess if a guy is good with his money or not.
Oh yeah.
Right. And
well, and how worthy he feels, you know.
Exactly. I love that. Yeah. And like, if he shit talks his boss or his client, that's always kind of a red flag for me. I don't care how much money you make. And the other thing is also, and this is why, you know, I'll put it out there. A guy who makes more money than me is attractive, or by default could be attractive. And when I say me, not me, me, like women in general, because we are, you know, it is, having money is a sign of having good decisions in the past, making the right decisions, mm-hmm. right? Being in the right room. You probably did your school well, you know, you probably did well in school or in work. And that is why a lot of women are attracted to money. It's because of what it stands for. Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, it shows that you are probably, you know, committed and hard worker, you know, willing to, you're not like rebelling. I see a lot. I meet a lot of men who are like rebelling against something. They're either, they don't want to be rich because only rich people are bad, or rich people are only bad, you know, or they don't want to be, you know, like they're always rebelling against something, and it like doesn't work in your favor usually to rebel against something. Oh, so like, to me also, it kind of, somebody who has made their own money, it's like somebody who is willing to embrace how things, you know, embrace the world that we live in and use it to become more, you know, to make their own lives better.
Exactly. Exactly. And, you know, it is a very important thing, having these conversations, how people feel about money, because you're choosing your partner and money is a big part of our lives, whether we like it or not. Mm-hmm. And this conversation needs to be had, and you need a really good money partner. And in fact, I would go as far as saying choosing your partner greatly affects how much money you make too.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Yep. If you have a partner who supports you and your endeavors, I mean, like, you know, if we want to go back to like tens of thousands of years ago, the beginning of humans, like the reason why we now need to be in partnership and desire to be in partnership is because humans who paired up 70,000 years ago survived. You know, and so it's interesting, actually, in saying this, I remember my former partner, like at one point he was working a lot out in another country, and I would stay home and take care of the house and the dogs and everything, you know, and then I went on a trip for like 10 days. And I remember coming back and him saying like, oh, life is so much harder when you're not here. And, you know, he was talking about like, just like the cooking and the cleaning and the taking the dogs for walks and the errands and all that. And in my mind, I thought, gosh, my life is so much easier when you're not here because I had been doing so much to take care of him, you know, which is on me. I mean, that's my responsibility. Right. But in thinking about just like how, you know, yeah, humans from the very beginning of time, it's like we want to be in partnership now because we continue to evolve. The people who survived were the people who lived in partnership who lived in community, you know, and helped each other out. And so you should have a partner that is supporting and making your life better and easier. And so to your point, Carla, how successful you are in life really has a lot to do with the partner that you choose. Is that person supporting enough, uplifting and helping you to be more successful in the areas where you want to be more successful? Or are they making your life harder?
Exactly. Because, I mean, it's hard to manage a business, think about growth, if you're always thinking if this person has eaten or the trash is being taken out or you're not in a state of joy and safety, like really. Mm-hmm. And for them too, if I am not providing emotional safety and to this guy, and if I'm not also listening to his needs and trying to or making an effort to deliver them, it would also not be good for him. And then we're just going to have these little bubbles of like resentment, and mm-hmm. those things never fare well.
No, they don't. And I think the longer that things are that way, the more difficult they are to talk about and change, you know? But I think I've learned to make a lot of these things less personal, like talking mm-hmm. about money, talking about how we want to split our money, talking about the things that I need for my partner to do or be for me, and what he will need or do, you know, or be for me, or what he needs from me. All of these things, I've gotten to where I realize it's so less personal than we make it out to be, or at least that I have made it out to be in the past. You know, it's just a matter of what do we need and want for our lives. And if somebody that you're in a relationship with wants something different, then that's okay. It can be really hard, especially if you're not having these conversations or setting the, you know, groundwork and boundaries up front. Then the longer that you stay in a relationship without working these things out, the harder it is because you're invested, you know. But no harm, no foul to have these conversations up front and realize that you want different types of relationship for your life. Oh, the money thing has got to be. Yeah, I mean, money's got to be a conversation. I mean, at minimum, like, how early on would you start? Like, what are kind of like the minimum things that you need to find out early in a relationship, like first, like couple weeks, to know that you want
in relating to money.
Yeah, relating to money, to know that you want to kind of continue getting to know this person, or that would be like deal breakers where you're just like, you know what, we're not going to even go any farther because I already see that this is not financially going to work out.
Exactly.
What are some of those things you'd look for?
Absolutely. So I want to preface that this is my opinion and these are my preferences. So I'm in my mid-30s now. I can't date a guy without any investments. So I would assume you finished college at the latest, you know, 25. Okay. I think I'm giving you a lot of room there. Or even if you didn't go to college, okay, most likely you've been working for a decade at least. It would be just unthinkable for me if you don't have any stocks, any like real estate, any other stuff that you have, any, I don't know, boring passive income business like a vending machine. I don't even know why I said vending machine. Came to my mind. Or some investment in your friend's business, like some sort of investment. If you don't have that, that I think that's a big just no-no for me, because for you to go through a whole decade of you making more than what you need and not investing it, you're just wasting this in trips and I don't know what you're buying. I don't care. I think that's a no-no for me. So let's take turns. What about you, Sam?
Yeah, I like that. I think for me, for sure, it's about, got a couple things. Definitely debt. Do you have debt? And I think that's something that, you know, I don't, you know, in the first couple of weeks, I don't necessarily need you to give me like a number about how, you know, of how much money you have in debt, but I think I could, you know, have a loose conversation to know if you have debt or not. And if it's like, and I just need to know where that debt comes from if you do have debt. I mean, if it's because you went to law school and, you know, you're working for the government and it's going to get, you know, forgiven after 10 years of service and like, okay, like, I don't know, like if it's just like credit card debt because I like to buy stuff, then that's tough for me. You know, like, I think that the debt, I need to know, do you have debt and where does it come from?
Yeah, I like that too. Yeah, I would have that conversation too. Especially when we are, you know, like a few weeks and definitely getting serious. And I think there's a way to kind of casually insert that. I usually make a lot of jokes anyway. So I would, you know, use that as an opening, like maybe throw some jokes around. But that is definitely important to mention. I remember this relationship where we were watching this reality show and about this couple. I forgot if it was Love is Blind or Married at First Sight. Or I forgot. But it was a funny way to be in a relationship with someone. And then the guy found out that the girl has a lot of debt, like very late, like they're already married. And he didn't know about this because they rushed through the process. And I just felt bad for him because, you know,
now that's his debt married. Too. What else? Do you have another thing that you would want to know financially early on?
I would also love to know like kind of the progression of his profession or business or the way he makes money. So I don't care if, you know, what his role is right now, or if he just quit his job and is just starting a business and it's been 3 months and it has zero profit yet. Like, I'm cool with that. Good for you. You gambled on yourself and you have enough savings to float yourself. I think that's attractive. So one, you know, once again, it's not really about the balance in your bank account or how much you're bringing in this month, right? It's always about kind of the progression of how it happened. So I love hearing about, say, their first job and the other jobs that they had, or their first business, other businesses, what they do, you know, what kind of vacations they took. It just gives me an idea of their behavior towards earning money, what they think about earning money. I actually mentioned this to my partner a while ago when we were watching like Ozark or something. I noticed that there are certain people that believe that making money cleanly is for chumps, there are certain people that they're not, you know, they wouldn't murder people, but they would always want to take shortcuts, or
the get rich quick kind of,
right?
Thing.
They like kind of
always
like get
looking
rich
for the scam.
People.
Yeah.
They're sometimes it's not, I wouldn't say they're scammers, but they would always want like the easy way, and they refuse to take a job. They refuse to start a boarding business, or they refuse to like do the work. They just want quick money. I used to date someone who genuinely believed that the only way he could make money, X amount of money in a short period of time, is to go to a casino. And he conned himself into thinking he's this mathematical savant who could count cards or compute the probabilities on a roulette table, which is so stupid because it's random every time, bro. This is like basic.
Well, that probably says other things about his, you know, who he is as a person. Like, does he believe in the long haul commitments to things? Does he believe, you know, I don't know. Well, to piggyback on, you know, you say you want to know about kind of the progression of how this person earns money. I am interested to see how this person spends money.
Mm-hmm.
I dated a guy who he could always pay for his life. He didn't have debt. You know, we lived a very similar lifestyle. Like, in a lot of ways, the money stuff really worked out. In the beginning, like, I realized he's kind of a retail therapy type guy. It's funny. He doesn't like do drugs or drink alcohol or anything. He buys things. He would buy things but things like stuff. Like, he always wanted new like gear, or, you know, just like toys, technology things and stuff. But like, he'd spend like a lot of freaking money on some of these things. And he would like already have like three or four versions of something, and he'd get another version of it, you know, thinking it was going to like make his life easier or something. And over time, I think I probably influenced him a lot, because towards the end there, he really had gotten rid of a lot of stuff. Cause like, our house was just like filling up with stuff. And I was just like, I don't want all this stuff like stuffed in every corner and cabinet, you know? So that, gosh, there's so many nuances, I feel like, in when it comes to how we buy and sell things, or like how we spend our money. But that's something that I'm curious about. It's just how they spend the money. And I get that, like, we're not going to be perfect. Like, we're not going to find a perfect match necessarily in exactly how we spend and money and stuff. And that's part of being in partnership. But just having the conversations and being with somebody who's open to looking at the way that they make and spend money, and the way that I make and spend money, and coming to some agreements, I think is just, that's where the key is. It's not necessarily changing people's habits and stuff. It's coming to agreements within the partnership.
Exactly. Because, you know, once in a while, we have our own like money, you know, we all have our different relationships with money. These are beliefs that we've held since we were kids. And these are beliefs that we've chosen to also leave or change as we became adults and as we learn more about life. And all of us have our non-negotiables, and all of us have our little treats, right? Like, for example, my partner would think it's just absolutely extravagant to drop $3,000 on a purse. Like, he's just like, that's just, you know, like, you can feed a small country. And I'm like, and then he also,
you're like, but I just want it. And I worked hard for this money.
Yeah, I know. Well, Yeah, it's like I'm gonna donate, but like let me have this bag. And it's the same thing. He also has his version of a $3,000 purse. He will also drop thousands of dollars, say, on his golf stuff. Right? So we all have our little quirks and our beliefs. But your point is very important to remember of, are we accepting of this behavior? Does it sit well with you? And if it doesn't, then just don't, maybe it's best to sit out of this kind of, I don't know, opportunity for partnership early on or as early as you can. Instead
Well,
of,
so
yeah.
I'm curious then. I mean, to me, the question then is like, how do I split my money with my partner? Or do I not split it at all? How do we join our lives? And what does that look like from a financial perspective? A friend of mine who kind of started this whole snowball conversation, she had sent me a TikTok video of this woman who just said, like, I don't want to split the bill because if we're each, let's say we each say we can spend $1,500 on rent, and we're putting in 50%, each of us is putting in $1,500, then all of a sudden we're probably living a lifestyle of, $3,000 in rent. Or, I mean, maybe you're not spending $3,000 in rent, but we're living a lifestyle that neither of us could afford if the other one left.
Right. Yeah, that's
And I
actually
thought
a
that
good
was
point.
interesting,
Yeah.
right? And so it's like, I don't, if I'm gonna separate from my partner, I don't want it to also mean that I have to sell my house and get rid of my car and travel half as much and fire my cook and whatever, like I don't want it to mean I have to change my entire life.
Yeah.
So I guess it's kind of a question that I don't have an answer to for myself yet. And maybe you can speak to it, but like I would like for my partner to be paying for the bulk of our life things. And then I get to treat him with my money on a less, regular basis, I guess. Like he would be paying for like the house and like the cars and stuff. And then like I would pay for like, I don't know. I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, it's a little tricky. It you get to you feel like you have to be careful when you say these things out loud, right? But these are just your thoughts and this is your reality, right? And a lot of people might think differently. For me, I feel the same way with you. I would feel comfortable if the guy would pay most of the stuff, most of the basic stuff. Or cover maybe at least 60% of it. That's also kind of actually my current partnership right now. And I treat him to little things here and there. And of course, I provide things that he would ask for, big or small, as much as I can. Basically, I show him that what's important to him will make, I listen to it and I try to make him happy and vice versa. I think that. The ideal relationship is you not counting these things. I would say that. Like you not having to say, hey, I paid this last time, or or the last dinner was $500 and now it's 300 and now you're picking this up. Like, oh, that's just so icky. Like the ideal relationship is you not having to have these conversations.
As you're saying that, I'm thinking like I would like for my man to choose that it makes him so happy to provide a home and like our foundation for, like that he gets to provide that for me and
Exactly.
that there's no strings attached. But if in any moment it becomes this thing where it's like, well, I pay for your house that you get to live in.
Yeah.
And it's like, then I'm like, nope, I don't want it. And I would much prefer to pay. I don't know. This is like the thing. I would much prefer to pay for half the house or whatever than have a man who begrudgingly pays for it, but then like holds it over my head.
Oh yeah. Yeah. That's not it's not a partnership. It's not a romantic partnership. You're just making it a ledger entry.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it goes back to the kind of way of being, right? It's like a man who feels like it makes him feel powerful and taking care of himself by being able to provide and protect his most prized possession, which is his partner in his, partnership.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So, it's been a really amazing conversation. Thank you for sharing your thoughts. Made me think about things and gave me flashbacks.
Yeah, me too. I mean, there's so much here, but I think, the overarching thing is just like, being conscious of the polarity that we have, the masculine and feminine energies that we have in our relationships, and what role each person wants to play, and then having the conversations about what that looks like on paper with money, with finances,
Yeah, exactly. So, as a closing kind of thought, so you're an entrepreneur, you own your own business, you travel the world, you make good money, you always meet people in like high places, talk to CEOs, creative directors. Basically, you're in really good rooms and you're operating in this sense of growth, abundance, and all that. So as a kind of like an entrepreneurial woman and basically a leader yourself as well, what do you think entrepreneurial women look for in men in general that you think is different from other women?
It's a really good question. I think it is, we have to make a lot of decisions in our, I'm the chief decision maker, that's my role. And I think it's that initiative that we're talking about where a man can just like take things off your plate and provide, take initiative. I think that's probably the biggest thing. Like a woman who's making, really important decisions and has a lot of responsibility on her shoulders wants to come home at the end of the day, and the man has already figured out what we're doing for dinner, what movie we're watching, to give me a little foot rub, and has taken care of, picking up the dry cleaning or whatever it is. It's somebody who takes initiative and makes some decisions and doesn't just wait for their woman. And I think that's kind of the opposite. I think that's kind of the difference between maybe entrepreneurial women. And I mean, this is obviously such a generalization, but like women who either are, who are in more day-to-day typical job situations, or who do their work is at home, with family work. I think a lot of the time, those women are making more decisions and in charge of how money is being spent, what's being purchased, how time is being run and all of that, more so in the house. Yeah.
Yeah. I love that. I love that. I think for me, the general thing is, because entrepreneurial women, especially women who lead their own businesses, already have a lot to think about, during the day in their business. And they're always in their like masculine energy to, be a leader, figure out offers, reading the numbers in your business. Like just mentioning these things out loud doesn't even like make me smile. But I mean, it's happy. I am honored to do what I do and help who I help. But I would admit that you know, in a relationship, you're just looking to you know, like a soft landing. You're looking to just be in your feminine, be taken care of. And it's not about the money or the time or the talking individually. It's like all together being able to protect and provide and being able to recognize your role in the relationship.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay, cool.
What a good conversation.
No, I loved it. I'm so happy we sat down to discuss this and we forced the world to have this discussion with us as well. So
it's an exciting thing, you know, it's an exciting conversation to have. I think, you know, it will make life and our partnership so much easier and better if we just have these conversations openly and honestly with our partners and come to some agreements together. Because then we really can just, you know, really enjoy the partnership a lot more and not have these little, what did you call them? Like bubbles of resentment here and there, you know?
Yeah. Cool. Well, how can people find you and how can people check out all the fun stuff you're doing?
Well, as far as my personal stuff goes, which is where all the fun stuff is that I'm doing a lot of the time, I'm on Instagram at Sam Parvin, just like my name. And also on LinkedIn, I talk about, kind of how, brands can tap into the power of music licensing and, build their businesses through the use of music.
Cool. So if you want to check out all the fun things Sam is doing about choosing the right music for your brand and really doing a deep dive into these things and how this affects your marketing, definitely check her out. Well, thank you so much, Sam. And thank you to all of our listeners. See you again next week for another episode of None of Your Business. Bye. So it's a wrap. To my entrepreneur friends, I hope that you found this episode interesting and enjoyable. I know I did. Big thanks to our sponsor, Proximity Outsourcing, for making this possible. If you need to outsource anything in your business so you can scale fast and easy, visit proximityoutsourcing.com and check out their solutions. If there's any topic that you want to request, feel free to reach out. I only have two conditions. You tell me why you find it interesting, and you promise it's not business talk. Find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and YouTube, and leave us a comment or review because you're cool like that. This is your host, Carla, and thank you so much for joining me. Thank you for your interest in fun stories. Now we can get back to business. See you next week. And remember, everything here is none of your business.